We Talk Podcast presents... I'm here to show the world, I'm here to show the world. Come on!
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host Joshua Adam William Everton with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, it's going fantastic. Before we get into professional wrestling, I'm going to start out with some promo work here. If you live in the, I'm not sure, just the Calgary area, but if you have Shaw Television, you need to make sure you set your PVRs on Monday to watch Stigma.
Yay!
Tell us a little bit more about that, Joel, for the listeners.
Stigma is a hour-long documentary featuring seven Calgarians talking about their battles and successes with mental illness, specifically in the anxiety and depression spectrum.
Absolutely. So it's on 8 o'clock on Shaw Television.
And then there'll be subsequential playback, so if you check your local listings, you'll be able to find it.
Can people in Canada get it outside of just Calgary?
It will be on a live stream that you can find. It'll be on the Shaw TV live stream, so
okay.
There's that. And it will also be on YouTube for your viewing pleasures eventually. So
perfect. So make sure we'll have a link on the One Fall Pod, page and on the Fresh Take page. You can also go there and we'll have links as well so you can check out the fine work of the Stigma documentary.
Woo!
Other than that, Joel, before we get into wrestling, how's your week been going?
Oh, you know, it's been a week. It's been an interesting little week here. You know, it's just one of those weeks where it's like, ooh, the last couple months have flown by. So, and it's always nice to have that wrestling that you can go back to and just kind of tune out for a little bit, sit there and watch someone say or do something. It's not as good of a week as Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella have had.
No, we'll get to that, but it's Thanksgiving here, too, so it's Thanksgiving in Canada, so we're revving up for that. We'll talk about more of the stuff, I guess, at the end there, but, yeah, let's get into the world of professional wrestling, I suppose. And, Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, they will be having a little Bella.
Yeah.
I liked the announcement that they did via Brian's Instagram account, actually. I thought that was rather cute. Did you happen to see that at all?
Yeah, I saw the little post that they had, and I thought, oh, that's... I'm very happy.
With the potted plant, so empty potted plant?
Yeah.
Well, for what they are, they're kind of, you know, the granola, hippie kind of people, and, you know, that definitely kind of comes through on this new season of Total Bellas, where you can definitely tell that Brian is definitely out of a comfort zone in there, and hearing him on Talking Smack kind of give warning to people, being like, this was out of my element, and this is during the worst time of my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know there is, you know, the idea of reality television to it, but you really get into the minds of Cena and Brian, and Cena can be a little hyperbolic.
Yeah.
And I thought the best thing about it was the quote from Brian, too, really kind of showcasing everything that Daniel Bryan was about, was the thing he hates about wrestling the most is when there's not wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is kind of ironic now, because that's his main job, is just talking. But you kind of look at SmackDown as a show compared to Monday Night Raw, and it kind of follows that motto.
Yeah. It's very interesting, kind of, because I didn't watch Total Bellas.
No, and Joe will not be watching, really. No. Unless something happens, it's kind of the, I watch and tell Joel, watch this.
Yeah. So, it's kind of like, hey, I'll take this bit of information, but now I'm kind of like, eh, just let me know, and I'll be there, and I'll watch little snippets here and there. But it's very interesting kind of seeing, especially, like you said, this is peering into one of the more not great times for Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan. So,
yeah.
But, you know, on the positive side, he seems to have come through on the other side, at least from what we've seen. And it's really great to hear about Bray.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably because, well, the idea originally was, at least what they said, I don't know if this was, like, the actual plan, and then that's how they got the cameras there. But the original plan was to help, to bring the family to help with Nikki with her neck surgery. So Brian and them all move out from their kind of little cottage to John Cena's big mansion. Cena has a whole bunch of rules and kind of weird about some of his stuff. And I think it's kind of one of those situations where you can take someone out of their element. They can only last with those against those elements for so long.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the main selling point, because there'll be drama. Some of it manufactured, some of it real.
Yeah, I'd probably go 60-40, and I think that'd be nice on that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm really happy. This is something that Brie and Daniel have been talking about publicly for a while, so it's nice to nice for it to happen. I think this is... This may really put a nail in the Brian wrestling coffin, because now...
Would it, though?
I don't know.
I think it puts a nail in the Brie one, because we had suspected that, you know, the door had been opened that Brie could come back, but I think we can officially say now, not that it's even close to as big of a name, but we can officially now say that Brie Bella is officially done wrestling.
Yeah. I think Brian, because you got to sit there and think about it, like, he took a beating physically, and I mean, now he's got a kid to kind of keep an eye on, so I think that is where that's what's going to happen with him, so that would be my
guess.
For
sure. I mean, I don't think you're wrong, but I think it definitely resolves Brie more, and we'll see what happens. So the babies right now, we could be looking, let's see, we're assuming September, October, January. Well, let's go October. Yeah. October, November, December, January, February, March, April. About May, about June, July. It could be a SummerSlam baby.
Yay! Question for you. Does Brie having being pregnant, does that start putting the screws to John Cena for Nikki wanting to have a kid? Seeing her sister pregnant and going through all that. Is that going to make her want to have a kid?
My prediction to you, and I had said this, was I think what will eventually happen is Cena will put a ring on it to kind of calm the fires of everything.
Yeah. Can you imagine that Tota Bella wedding? That 2-hour wedding? They'll probably live stream the wedding.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had Brian and Breeze, and it was kind of nature-y, and it was, I believe, in Central Washington. I can only imagine what Cena would have just with how, you know, extravagant his place already is in the first place.
Yeah. It would be... And Vince and Bucky will be producing that wedding. You'd be guaranteed.
Of course. This is the Macho Man and Elizabeth of the modern era, only it's... They call Hogan married Elizabeth.
Would it be... Would they do it on a pay-per-view? Could you see them doing it on
They'd do it on a pay-per-view, and they'd make sure both of them are champion.
And that would...
And they have their way.
Alright. I think I'm gonna pull the brakes on that little bit, because we could go down this rabbit hole and start predicting.
Why not? It's not too much to talk about this week, so why not?
There's a few things definitely floating out there that I definitely wanted to hit on. I think you and me have really done a deep dive, and I recommend it for a lot of people, is the pro wrestling Reddit, the Squared Circle. It's a very fascinating place to go down at times. But there was an interesting fact that I wanted to talk to you about. There's a few things on here that I very much want to bring up today, because it is a little bit more flat. But the first 16 WrestleMania pay-per-views had some form of NWA and WCW competition. WCW was bought out just before WrestleMania 17, making it the first with WCW not active as a company. Now we're at WrestleMania 32. We've had 16 Manias without WCW around. So just think about that. Like, the how long WrestleMania has been going on for, and how long WWE's been around.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, because you sit there and you think about it, that the first 16 featured, like, your Hogan's, Bret, Shawn, all in big match situations, Macho Man. And then you get to 17, and then you move on from that, and you've got your Cenas, you've got your Batistas, you had the tail end of Michaels, you had Triple H, Undertaker. It's crazy, and you also think of how many WrestleManias Undertaker wrestled at that featured NWA-WCW competition and non-NWA-WCW competition. it's really wacky and wild to think of just that statistic and look back at it as a whole. As much as the current product's not sunshine and rainbows all the time, and like you said, sometimes it is not about wrestling, and sometimes it's about wrestling in the wrong spots. But man, this has lasted for a long time.
Yep, it has. It's crazy to think too about how long it's lasted. Whether, you know, you can go down the argument too if it's best for business since then or not, but the longevity shows that whether there was competition or not, they were still going, whether it was against themselves or whoever else.
Yeah. And now you really sit there and you kind of look at it and it's kind of mind-blowing, and it also, it'll make certain wrestling fans feel a little bit older because they've been alive for all 32 of those WrestleManias. And you actually sit there and think, you remember the old days and you remember the current product, and you just kind of look at everything. Some fans will just be like, oh, we're mostly alive for either one half or for the back half of this, but it's crazy to think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those little things that you kind of sit there and you're kind of like, wow.
Oh, exactly. It's crazy. And I mean, we talk about competitors, and not that it was a major competitor, but the TNA story, we did promise everyone a second pod last week, but Bound for Glory was so bleh, and the news really didn't seem to have anything to it, Joel. It just kind of seemed to be a stalemate, and the pay-per-view didn't have anything to really write home about. We'll talk about the pay-per-view, I guess, a little bit, but so we came into yesterday when news had broke by a decently reliable reporter that WWE has indeed bought the library for TNA, and Billy Corgan will rebrand it. But then Bob Ryder, a person inside TNA, and Dixie Carter pretty much sent out, I don't know, their cryptic tweets between themselves saying don't believe in any big breaking new rumors that you've seen on the side. So as of Thursday at about 7:17 Mountain Time, we stay at a stalemate.
It's crazy how, like, it kind of started off, it was like WCW. This is what I'm going to compare it to. It burned really bright at the start with all these rumors, and oh, maybe they're buying the library. Oh, this is really cool. And then it just went out with a whimper. It's much like how WCW, they got really bright, and then it burnt out very quickly. And I'm kind of tired of talking about all of this because I really don't care anymore.
And it made so much sense, too, because it's like, okay, WWE gets that library. It makes sense for everybody that's involved in that company now with the Samoa Joes, AJ Styles, the Bobby Roode, et cetera, et cetera. You can say former TNA champion. When Christian goes in the Hall of Fame, former NWA champion, AJ gets another title reigns to him to make him even more impressive. When Kirk comes back, you can say 10-time champion, makes it even more impressive. Same with Samoa Joe, you can say former blah, blah, blah world heavyweight champion instead of just the one-time NXT, you can add those TNA ones on. So you get that and impress that resume. And then on the other side, you ditch the name TNA, you have Billy Corgan, who seems to be doing an okay job so far, and you just get the rebrand and restart, and nobody loses their jobs. It really seems like a win-win situation. So we heard the news, like, okay, everybody wins in this situation. Like, nobody is a loser except for Dixie, the one person that should be losing.
I honestly, like, I look at this situation, and Dixie's very stubborn. Dixie is hell-bent on keeping everything going. Like, it was funny, let me grab the story, but apparently Vince Russo was telling a story, and it's very hard to read, because Vince Russo, when he tells stories, gets kind of mucky and messy, but when Hogan and Bischoff came in, so Dixie had been doing wrestling for about 8 years, she still didn't know what the term kayfabe meant.
Yeah, I read this.
And I just sit there and I think, for someone that, like, you and me, who are very passionate wrestling fans, both agree we could probably not run a promotion.
I don't agree with that.
I
could run it. I with the right people, I could do a better job than Dixie Carter could. 100%.
And that's the thing. Like, we think we could, but I still have some skepticism on it, but you look at Dixie, who got into this and 8 years in didn't know wrestling terms that smarks know, no problem. It kind of echoes back to today's, where she's very stubborn. She thinks, well, I can go in and do this. I'd love to hear her reasoning for getting into the business to begin with, because as far as I know, she had no connection to wrestling other than maybe she knew about it growing up.
I think the main thing with her was that it started with Jerry Jarrett and Dusty with this company and Jeff, right?
Yeah.
And they bought it, and then they were fine. I don't know when Panda Energy came into it, but eventually they needed the funding, and they got it from Panda Energy. And it wasn't Dixie, it was Bob Carter initially, and then Dixie just, I think, to me, I don't know the full story, but it kind of seemed like, oh, the billionaire father,
I could tell you how it started. This is off Reddit, Wikipedia. Sure. So hopefully this is a little bit more spot on. In 2002, the president of Monterey Peninsula Talent, a booking...
Just say Panda Energy.
Panda Energy contacted Carter and informed... No, it was a booking agency contacted Carter and informed her that Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, a professional wrestling promotion, required marketing and publicity outlet. Carter began working with TNA, but 2 months later was informed by Jeff Jarrett, part owner of TNA, that a key financial backer, Health South Corporations, which was having financial problems due to its investigation for accounting irregularities, had withdrawn its support from TNA, and the company was in dire straits as a result. Carter claiming, seeing the potential in a marketplace that had one company, WWE, with a U.S. $90 million market cap and no competitors, contacted her parents, the owners of Panda Energy International, a Dallas-based energy company, in October 2002. Panda Energy purchased 71 of TNA from Health South Corporation for $250,000. On October 31st, 2002, TNA, which was originally traded as J Sports and Entertainment, was renamed TNA Entertainment. Carter was appointed president in the wake of the president of
She's
TNA
been there pretty much since the beginning, we can say.
Yeah. Entertainment in 2003. And that's how she got involved. Basically, someone had contacted her about doing marketing and publicity, and she saw what WWE was and decided to jump on it and thought it was an opportunity. But here's the thing. I think this speaks to her mindset. She saw what WWE was, and this speaks to the same thing that you have said and that I've said for years and years. TNA tried to be WWE light, and this speaks
to... Not even that, Joel. Whenever she sees anything, she tries to do it. She watches Survivor, and she brought Dana Morosco for that match with Charmel, which some consider the worst match of all time.
Yeah.
She watches Big Brother. She gets Jenny Gutierrez, who, okay, he's been okay in the Man Bros. He's been okay. She watched Sons of Anarchy. That's how we got Aces and Eights.
Why didn't she watch Breaking Bad?
And I mean, she watches these dramas, and, you know, even look at the Claire Lynch thing. Like, that was just a bad soap opera that she wanted to reenact. And I remember at the very beginning of TNA, how she said, like, they'd always be like, our president will never be all over our TV like a certain other president. I'm like, okay, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. I can't believe we've talked about TNA this much again, but...
Well, I mean, it's going to be in the news. I mean, they also have some news, too, that's affecting a lot of people down in the south, in the Florida region, with the Hurricane Matthew approaching and looking rather scary. Their bookings have been canceled for today and tomorrow, and they'll look the tapings, and they'll look to pick them up on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. So I don't know if those tapings were perhaps when the sale and all that stuff were going to be announced. But going back to the tapings and stuff, Joel, when Jim Ross says something, I tend to believe it.
Yeah, that's one thing where I think when good old JR says something, you kind of listen.
And he has said two things, and we'll get to the other thing in a second, but I just, if it is true and TNA bought it, what do they hold? But do they want, is Dixie, with what you just said, like, wanted to be so much like WWE that she wants to make the announcement herself that would be part of that WWE, pardon the pun in a way, but that universe in WWE, and be like, well, I did it, I made it to WWE now. Does she want to be, is that what she's holding off? Because it's the big deal for them to say, WWE bought us? Is it such a big deal to them?
I think in some ways it'll be an ego, because I could see Dixie spinning it as, we got so big and so good that WWE had to buy us. And I really wonder if that was her goal kind of all along, was she was hoping, how does Matt say it? McMahon?
I've been practicing.
McMahon. Well, waiting for McMahon to buy it so she can sit there and be like, see? So, I don't know. Can it be done already? I just want the cell to be announced. Rebrand the thing. Which is really weird because you think Vince would want a non-compete.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little...
But that was the terms and conditions so they can get the AJ stuff? Fine.
Yeah, I think... I'm very interested to see, but you can't really go wrong with good old JR.
And you started seeing this thing too. Daniel Bryan referred to AJ Styles as a TNA former champion.
Yeah.
So I think that, and I know Talking Smack is what Talking Smack is, but I think that was the beginning of them just getting the heads up like, hey, you can start mentioning TNA. If we hear it on No Mercy, former TNA champion, then we'll really know the fix is in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
But that was the first time they've just kind of casually mentioned TNA on a broadcast and mentioned that AJ's affiliation with that company.
Yeah. I think all in all, wrap the TNA thing because we go.
Oh, Bound for Glory thoughts really quick. I got a chance to watch more than you did. I thought the Great War, you know, it was fun. Where do you rank it out of the three? I think Fauna Deletion is still the best one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Should probably be number two because there was.
Yeah.
They definitely wasn't easy to do from a production standpoint.
No, I like the switching from going in the arena to outside and getting the taping, because I was wondering what would the tape aspects be of it. You and I both were, and they worked it out rather well.
Yeah, and I mean you got to see some. Jeff Hardy was weird as always.
Mm-hmm.
Took a crazy spot at the end there, won the titles. King Maxwell had the same outfit as Broken Matt, so...
Mm-hmm.
All is well. My biggest thing that stuck out to me was Lashley retaining the title over EC3, and then Eddie Edwards winning the title on a tapings.
We did not have the spoiler alert there, bud.
It's TNA. I think they probably have a good idea of what's coming down the pike for them, and if they don't,
So yeah, on top. So yeah, like Joe said, Great War probably the second there. Eli Drake won a championship opportunity. The women's match was lackluster. The Gail Kane situation, really fun. It was surprising that Bobby Lashley had won, and I had told Joe, I'm like, I'm actually surprised that Bobby Lashley had won. But I guess they're really behind him. There is the looming Bellator fight, so you wonder what the deal was with the Bellator fight. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess he's going to go in. But I told Joel, like, watch him lose the fight to a nobody. And all respect to Eddie Edwards, it's just Davey Richards has been more known of the two than Eddie Edwards. And apparently it sets up that Bobby Lashley lines up everybody in the impact zone and says, I'm going to pick my opponent. And he picks Eddie Edwards, and Eddie Edwards is now the TNA champion.
You know what that sounds like?
What?
Cena and Bryan in some ways. Not.
They kind of did that with Eric Young, though, too.
Yeah.
They made him the Bryan character. Although, they did that kind of with Dixie being Triple H and him being Bryan in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they kind of like to pull from, and, I mean, you said it perfectly. Like, she sees Big Brother, takes stuff from Big Brother, sees Survivor, takes stuff from Survivor. She's got to be watching WWE on a regular basis, so might as well take from some of their hotter angles. Good time.
We got Cody and Brandi Rhodes.
Yeah. Nice little workaround.
Game changer, Cody.
Nice little workaround. And Cody's actually being called Cody R in What Culture Pro Wrestling, so.
Okay. And he's facing Kurt Angle on Loaded tomorrow.
And Cody is 1-0.
Yeah. And he'll be facing Michael Bennett.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. I think that's one thing that I definitely, besides Broken Matt Hardy, that I would tune in and check out.
And I'm interested to see Brandi's and Reigns' skills. This is more than TNA's ever gotten, but I will say outside of all the sales and stuff, again, even though I wasn't overjoyed by Bound for Glory,
they have done a good job of having storylines that you are curious to check into.
Yeah.
I will give them that. I am curious to check into the storylines. But we will talk about TNA a little bit more next week. Hopefully it's that the company has changed, Billy Corgan has the full power, and that we can all just move on.
Yeah. I do have one interesting thing. I don't... We'll bring it up, because we kind of brought it up in... Hollywood Rundown with Devin Seal, which you can find on Fresh Take, but there's been a little bit more noted on the Crossface biopic on Chris Benoit.
Lovely.
It's been noted that German director Alexei Alexander will be directing the Crossface biopic on Chris Benoit and the 2007 murder-suicide. The movie will be produced by Alex A. Ginsberg and Tony Lee of Let It Play, and executive produced by Ram Getz and Matthew Vanzello V, Jake Goldberg and Sarah Kotler will write the script that is based on Ranzolo's Ring of Hell, the story of Chris Benoit and the fall of the pro wrestling industry. According to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, via someone who was once involved in the movie, it was originally going to be loosely based on Ive Murdoch's book about the murders, but negotiation fell apart, and now it'll be loosely based on Randall's book, Industry Giant William Morris Endeavor, WME, who was also involved with the movie at one point. At one point, the suggestion was the film have scenarios to open up speculation that former WCW booker Kevin Sullivan had something to do with the murders, which was a conspiracy theory for years. WME also suggested that they have late wrestler Johnny Grudge, perhaps scripted as Benoit's best friend, be the one to find Eddie Guerrero's body in the hotel room after WWE WrestleMania main event at Madison Square Garden.
That's just not true, though.
Eddie's body was found by his nephew, Chavo Guerrero, before TV taping in Minnesota. Another crazy idea was to go back to the Sullivan speculation, was to write a scene where Sullivan broke into Benoit's house to add to the speculation that he was involved. The original writer, Richard O'Sullivan, said he left the project because he refused to write the Sullivan speculation into the film. While those are wacky ideas were suggested, those still close to the film will say it'll be based more on reality than this wacky story. Regarding the cast, Michael Hall was once suggested to play Benoit, but his rep said he didn't want to play a killer and be typecast. Kellen Lutz and Liam McKnight were also discussed for the Benoit role, but that's been a while back. There were also rumors of Lee Schreiber playing Benoit, but those were nixed. WWE is reportedly not happy about the idea about the movie being made. It's believed the movie will show drugs, perhaps steroids and other, along with CTE as a possible explanation for why Benoit did it. So we've never talked about the whole Benoit thing on a podcast or had a podcast where we've talked about it, because we didn't know each other back when it happened, and it was something that I think we'll save for another day. But basically what I'm hearing from this is this movie it's going to be made regardless. It's going to happen, and it's not going to be based. There's not going to be a lot of facts into it. It seems like they're going to fudge history a little bit to make it kind of work and have a story flow to it, which we've seen in the past. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. There are movies that have taken history and made little tweaks and changes to it so that the story flow works better. This is the fact that it's based on the Chris Benoit story and the fall of the wrestling industry tells me everything that we already knew that this movie was going to be, which was going to be just about drug use, steroids, and just paint pro wrestling as one of the worst things in the world, and it's a three-ring circus that people still go to, and that's the whole reason everything happened. There's not a dozen other reasons, because to me, we still don't know what happened. That's cut, dry, simple. We don't know. And for them to even start to suggest the Sullivan thing...
I just think it's careless to take liberties with a story that doesn't have those connected dots. I mean, Johnny Grunge finding Eddie's body when it was Chavo.
After WrestleMania, no less.
It wasn't after WrestleMania either. But that's the connect tissue. It's like, oh, it's after WrestleMania. People, it's in the fall that Eddie Guerrero passes away.
Yeah. It's a year and a half after that WrestleMania too.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to see this movie probably regardless. But the way that everything's lining up, it's careless. There is a story to tell here, and it's an intriguing one. Joel has been more against the movie than I have.
Yeah.
As we just started, Joel is just very uncomfortable with the entire idea of it, which I can't blame you for that. It's for wrestling fans, it's something that pretty damn near crippled the industry.
Yeah.
And really hurt it, but it brought a lot of positive things on. It brought the 3-strike rule on.
Yeah.
And it's really changed the lifestyle. You even back then saw the guys doing drugs and drinking far too much, and now you have Chris Jericho saying like and Ric Flair bitching that no one parties anymore and everyone stays in their apartment playing video games. So it led to a better situation in the company, and I would hope that they would show that. But there is an intriguing story to tell. You listen to the Nancy Benoit interview with Chris Jericho, and you have a story of someone that did have CTE and did have brain problems, but also a man that saw best friend after friend after friend pass away, from the British Bulldog to Eddie Guerrero to the Big Boss Man to
Johnny
all Bunny. These guys, Mr. Perfect. And it really affected him until he finally had too much and finally just mentally broke. And there's a story to tell with that.
Oh, yeah. I think that there's a lot of things, because I think the Benoit story and tying it kind of in, there was recently stuff that came out about Dynamite being in basically an old folks home and barely able to move, not able to open his eyes really, and he perked up because he got a video message from Tiger Mask, the man he had that legendary battle with years prior, popped up and threw on the Tiger Mask, and that instantly perked up Dynamite, and you saw him open his eyes for the first time, and you just see how he's fallen apart and degraded and withered away to a shell of his former self. The Benoit thing, there's so much to tell with that story that is real, that is not, it's not just about the monster, that whatever happened those 3 days. There's a story, like you said, there's a story to be told about the concussions, pushing yourself harder than anyone else, mental illness, drug use, self-medication. There's so many layers to the story. And I think just taking Vince McMahon out back and just painting him as the villain, and this is all Vince's fault, I don't think if you told Vince, if you do this, this will cause this, I don't think Vince would ever have let something like that happen.
I don't think Vince has ever directly gone to any superstars in the modern era and told them to take steroids. In the early 80s, did he encourage Hogan's and Hercules and Ultimate Warriors to do it? I would have a hard time believing he didn't.
Yeah.
But from that 2000s period, I don't believe in my heart of hearts that he would suggest that.
I think there was still, I think it was more quiet, and I think there was a little bit more, I think there still was some stuff going on around that era, and it wasn't until 2007 that things changed. But I look at this and I go, if you're going to start taking liberties and start, because they're going to be, what's the proper word, uneducated people. That
well, it's like the OJ story, right, Joel? One of the reasons that OJ story works so well is they do a good job, too, of playing both sides of this, right?
Yeah.
They play a little bit of the O.J. side. You can see some of the stuff that O.J. was struggling with. But let's be honest. O.J. was an asshole that before that had been beating his wife, and things were leading to this. Benoit was someone that was tortured, and there's a side to him. But there, it's like Nancy Benoit said. There's a brother-in-law that she loved and cherished, but there's also this monster that murdered the child and the wife. And you have to tell that story. I get it. But don't fib things. Don't have Johnny Grunge, who has nothing to do with the story.
It's...
And don't like have little nuggets like that. There is a right story to tell. There's a right script to write that makes all parties look somewhat, I don't know if decent,
human.
But...
human. That's...
human. Thank you. That's the word. And especially you can say, like, after the Chris Benoit incident, WWE instituted the three-strike rule.
They were...
something like that. I obviously, the WWE is not blameless for it. This is with the chair shots and all that, but... well, you know, we were... and because the NFL is just as bad during this time with their hits, and, you know, that's what the movie Concussion's all about. They were aware of this stuff, but the researchers and stuff, no one believed in concussions or any of this stuff until this happened. Chris Nowitzki tried to plead with them, but they didn't listen because nobody... and it wasn't just them. It was the NFL. It was the NHL. Nobody was listening to anybody about head trauma, and no one believed in it.
Yeah. Like, there's... sometimes things have to get bad for them to improve. And I think this was an example of something had to happen, because something had to give, because the lifestyle you live didn't work. You know, I think I'm very interested to see as this plays out. And I always have the rule, until I see something from the movie, then I'll pass judgment on it. I think it's going to be the same thing with this. Let me see what it looks like, and then I will go from there. But it's something that still hits close to home. It's still something that's kind of like still a little uncomfortable. It's still something that I can't believe.
It's weird hearing that music on any pay-per-view. As soon as you hear that music, it's like nails and chalkboard almost.
Oh, yeah. And you sit there and you kind of go, I don't like this. But it's something that's real, and it's something that did happen, so...
There's no easy transition from that.
No. I will...
But we could go on and on about that, and we do have an idea to go full on a podcast about this entire thing with Mo. So this is probably the most we've ever talked about it on a podcast.
Yeah.
And there is a right full conversation with it, but let's take a turn and talk about another big rumor right now, Joel. And that is that at Survivor Series... Brock Lesnar will be back in action. And he'll be in action for a WrestleMania rematch against Goldberg.
So, can I just remind the listeners that we're going to be in Toronto? And
yes,
we bought
indeed.
These tickets long before this had happened, this announcement or this possibility. And there's a very real possibility we could see Goldberg wrestle.
Yeah, I mean, and look, Joel and I aren't going to hide it, you know. We've done the back in the, I guess they're still in the archives. One day they'll get released. When we reviewed a few Goldberg matches, we weren't the biggest fans of the work. But it was we always did say, though, it was never about the work rate that Goldberg had. It's about the build-up. Just to see the entrance, Joel, and to see the smoke and the kicks and to see a spear and a jackhammer, I'm excited for all of that.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be a spectacle. It really sounds like they want to go all in for that Survivor Series.
Yeah.
By all means, go all in, because I'm going to be right there along with you going, yay! I'm really excited. If it happens and everything plays out how I think it might, because this was mentioned by both Meltzer and our lovely friend JR. So
yeah. And then last night, Goldberg was on ESPN, and we had thought, okay, well, he'll make the announcement on ESPN. Pretty much promoted the video game, but then said, make sure that you play at Goldberg to kick Brock Lesnar's ass in the video game. Again.
And Paul Heyman came out with a comment
yes.
saying, "Dear Goldberg, I respectfully suggest you don't confuse the fantasy of hashtag WWE 2K17 with the reality that is Brock Lesnar." So, all this little stuff getting dropped... it's definitely one of those things where I kind of like, it's happening, Josh, it's happening.
So if we do this match, we have to have the referee in it too, right?
Yeah.
We have to have Stone Cold Steve Austin officiate it. It's only fair.
Yeah, I'm Josh, if that glass shatters in Toronto, you may have to pick me up off the ground.
I think I'll be right with you. So that's the rumor right now, and if that happens, that's... I think it's really perfect because Meltzer had revealed who the WrestleMania opponent will be for Brock Lesnar.
Fight Owens Fight?
No.
Who?
Here Comes the Money.
Oh.
I'm on board with it. I know you and Mo are against it, but he'll just get tossed around and do something crazy. But as someone that had chosen between going to WrestleMania or going to Survivor Series, I'd much rather see that match, the Goldberg match, live. So, and to me, if that happens, then we picked correctly.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. 100%.
So nothing's confirmed. I'm assuming the things will ramp up either after No Mercy or after Hell in a Cell. I'd probably say after No Mercy because the video game comes out on Tuesday. And once the video game comes out, things start getting going. You'll have probably a segment with someone's Brock Lesnar or someone's Goldberg in the back.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm Brock Lesnar, I'm Goldberg, I'm going to do this. And then we'll start ramping things up.
Yeah, that is probably how they're going to book it, which makes sense.
And that gets me to thinking, if Goldberg can maybe stay around, because you have to think if they have Goldberg, they'll use him at WrestleMania. And that gets me thinking, if Taker's not coming back, wouldn't be shocked to see Cena versus Goldberg.
Yeah, that's totally a possibility. And that could, that would generate some buzz.
It's really the last big icon that Cena can face.
Yeah.
He never could get to have a match with Hogan. I don't know if he's ever been in the ring with Flair.
I think he's been in the
ring. Any idea?
It probably was like a six-man tag on a Raw years ago.
Probably. So, yeah, the biggest... And he's never faced Austin, obviously.
Yeah. But he's been a tag from Austin.
Yeah, exactly. So, Goldberg's the last big one.
Yeah.
I guess Sting could have happened, too, but... Yeah, so there's a few, but this is a big one. If he can face Goldberg, and Cena's a much better work rate, but Cena's, you know, it's a dream match, nonetheless. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah.
But the point, I thought that, I was excited for that match, the original one.
Yeah.
When it happened, but with both guys leaving, it kind of diminished it.
Yeah.
But now not having the, oh, this guy's leaving and this guy's leaving, now we're just like, oh, these are two big guys who are going to beat the crap out of each other, and that's exciting.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll probably look through that match with rose-colored glasses because, as I'll remind the viewers, we'll be seeing it live.
And, yes, indeed. Go ahead.
And we'll get to chant Goldberg. And I mark my words, we will get a delete chant going.
For Roman.
Yes, for Roman. But to close off the Goldberg...
He'll probably be facing Rusev again.
Oh, yes, that the never-ending feud.
So, what are we going to next?
We are going to go to... I think we'll go to one last little bit of rumor, and that will transition us to the week that was. Vince was not happy about the Raw ratings, and they want to make...
This one or the debate?
The debate one, the September
27th
one.
What did you expect?
But this it's basically been said that they want to make a change. They want to move things forward, which I think, yay, yeah, no, that's awesome that you guys want to make a change. And so they want to make a little change. Now, let's do a really quick rundown of the week that was for Raw and SmackDown. Have they made little changes? What do you think of the product? Was it cool to see Adam Cole White? Appear?
I thought the best show was Talking Smack.
Yeah.
Again, I thought SmackDown was the second best show. Talking Smack was the best. I mean, I'm part of the problem because I didn't watch NXT this week. I thought Raw had some ups and downs to it. But the women's match was by far the highlight of the overall week.
Yeah. Sasha getting the win. One of those women are going to break the other woman, or they're going to break themselves somehow, because the stuff they do in that ring is just crazy, and it's crazy that, oh, the women are in the main event, cool, I don't even think twice about it, just happens.
That Charlotte did too, man, like, holy crap.
It's crazy. what did you think of Sasha winning the title? They played hot potato with the title a little bit. Does Sasha run with this title until WrestleMania? Where's everything going? Because the most interesting, there are two interesting things on Raw to me, and these are the two things that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the women, and we're also going to talk about the Universal title and Jericho. But first, the women, what do you think of that build, everything that they've had, the story that they've told?
It was really good, but the video package talked about the BFFs, and they forgot one of the BFFs.
Yeah.
And she wasn't too happy about it either, judging by her Twitter and the thousands of videos and pictures that Summer Rae put up. It's a minor detail. I know what they were trying to do, but it's not that hard to say that Summer Rae was part of this.
Yeah.
I get what they're trying to do, though. It's a minor detail. It's nothing, but I really like the video package. But there are so many little moments to me that were missing, Joel. Like, they didn't show enough about the feud, because when Natty won, when they had the Natty fight, sorry, and Charlotte beat Natty, Sasha came down after and kind of stared at her. And then they had their great feud there. They had the four-way. You had when Sasha's weave fell out and Charlotte... Was it Charlotte's weave or Sasha's? Whatever. When the hair fell out and they were beating each other with it. Or the Four Horsewoman moment at TakeOver. I thought those all could have been put into the video package and really showcase more. But I get the table they were laying. The match was great. Out of the recent matches, it's probably at the bottom. The first one where Sasha won is probably at the top, and then SummerSlam, and then that. But nonetheless, it's not like that one's bad. Like, all of them have been terrific on the main roster so far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and, I mean, Sasha's one of our favorites, and it's going to be really cool to see Sasha live here in Calgary on next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Next Saturday. So it's going to be really cool to see that moment, and see her come out with the title, and it will definitely be like, holy crap, it's Sasha Banks. And, you know, it'll be one of those, every time, she's won the title twice now on Raw, and both moments have, I think we saw this moment coming a little bit sooner than the last moment, but still, it's still a cool moment, and Sasha's been someone that we've been...
And they main evented.
Yeah.
Which I don't think any women have done since Trish and Lita.
No, I don't think so either. I think you're absolutely right on that one. And now we kind of sit there and we're like, wow. And I think they did a very good job. I think that the more you sit there and you look at it, it's like, wow, this is crazy. I can't believe this happened. And now it's another little moment that you can be like, wow. That was cool. That was awesome. Something you can remember and be like, holy crap.
So. I liked too, that they had the little nugget there with Bayley taking out Dana. So there was an excuse why Dana wasn't out there. Instead of just, she's just not out there not helping. So you had a reason why Dana wasn't there, so you could have the one-on-one, so you can continue the upcoming Charlotte versus Dana feud.
Yeah.
So that was a very nice small detail to have. And with Sasha, I think we're getting a Hell in a Cell between Charlotte and Sasha.
Oh, yeah.
The first ever women's one. The Survivor Series program is going to be interesting, Joel, because another returning name we keep on hearing this week is Trish Stratus. At Survivor Series, I think there's one or three people that she's going to face. I guess four. We could see Nia Jax, but she's been off TV so much, so I don't really put that as an option anymore.
Yeah.
I think they're going to still build her up. So the three names I have for you are Trish Stratus in Toronto, the best woman of the Attitude Era versus the best woman now in Toronto via an electrifying match. And Trish is really gets to go against these really good girls, which would be awesome. You could do Bayley, but I think you and I are both assuming that is waiting until WrestleMania,
yeah.
But who knows? And the other one is Emma, who had a video package this week.
Yeah. They're building her up as a model, Josh.
It's like Amelie Nation or something. They're changing her name, too.
Yeah. She's getting a full redo.
Which of those three do you think is the most likely? If I had to hit, I'd probably say Emma.
Yeah, I think Emma's the most.
I'm pulling for the Trish one. Someone that even if I was watching it, I would pull for Trish because it's a dream match. You know, it's two of the best women's wrestlers we've ever seen. And in fact, I think to some people, people had Trish as number one. But more recently, I think people have had not only surpassed her and Lita, it's Sasha and Charlotte, and jumped those, the two Team Bessie, to the back.
Yep. I would, as someone that would love to see it live, I'd be perfectly okay if they did Bayley and Sasha at Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're going to get that. I think it's some of the matches that you listed off, but I think it'll be Emma. Because Paige reportedly needs surgery. Everything's kind of in a lull right now.
Who needs surgery?
Don't know what type of surgery, but she needs...
Who needs it? Sorry.
Paige.
Right, yeah.
She's kind of...
Well, do you maybe do the Sasha and Bayley one, and then Paige is the WrestleMania one for the return?
Maybe. Build Paige back up.
And that's maybe what she was promised to keep her from quitting? Because she did quit, and then she revoked it.
So I think they probably offered her something.
Yeah, so we'll see. The women's picture in Raw's after this will be interesting because of what we have. I mean, Nia Jax is possible. We just haven't seen her on Raw for 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's totally possible they have her come back in and do a couple squash matches and build her up. The women's match was fantastic. When transitioning a little bit, Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens, when it happens, Josh, is going to be... What are you going to do when Kevin Owens gets put on the list?
It's going to be bad.
Yeah, you think Jericho comes out as the babyface? Because they were chanting Y2J when he came back and said it to Ashton Kutcher.
He's slowly turning because Jericho going out as the babyface makes the most sense. The catchphrases are over. Everything is over. He's slowly getting over, and Owens isn't. He's kind of naive too, right? Yeah. He thinks he cares about the friendship more than him and Kevin Owens does. And, you know, that little line, too, of we're the Universal Champion. He's been saying that quite a bit now to the point where Kevin Owens can snap and beat the crap out of him and say, no, I'm the Universal Champion.
Yeah, there'll be a pop-up powerbomb, and that's how you close out a Raw, with just a pop-up powerbomb and Jericho laying there, and you just start to remind fans of the Chris Jericho, because I think Jericho has gotten to that point where he's getting close to that kind of Ric Flair territory where
it's
really hard to hate him. But I think when he turns, and boy oh boy, if they main event Toronto, well, they wouldn't main event Toronto because Goldberg and Brock would probably close that show out.
Yeah, I would assume that'll be Brock and Goldberg.
What have you thought of the build for Rollins? And
Still seems very forced as a babyface. It's still really off. I felt this week was the best he's been as a babyface, but it's still got a long ways to go.
Oh, yeah. It's going to take a little bit for it to get to that point and click. But
because they had the opportunity and they didn't do it when the opportunity was there.
Yeah.
And now it's like... It's hard because he was such a villain and you didn't give a good enough reason to turn. You just want to see him have Triple H's ass kicked. But the problem is a lot of the smarks like Triple H because of NXT.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a weird thing. I even wonder, do they save Triple H and Seth, or is that another thing they're going to give away at Survivor Series? Because the more we hear Survivor Series, they really want to promote this and be like one of the best shows of the year and really get that big four to come back, especially since this is, I know SummerSlam was what it was, but this is the first show after the brand split when everything's kind of been separated and everyone's kind of had the feeling out process.
Here's my thinking. I think that, I will say it over and over again, the Hunter from 2002 to 2005 was never my favorite guy. That is what I grew up with, and I didn't like Hunter at all. But if I got to see Triple H versus Seth Rollins at Survivor Series, booking-wise, it would be smart to save that for WrestleMania. But I'm not going to complain. You're not going to complain. I think both of us will be like, yep, just keep giving us WrestleMania.
I kind of look at that card, too, like, where can Seth go, you know?
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. Like, Seth is going to be on the outs.
and everything looks towards KO versus Jericho.
Yeah, and it's a smart booking. It's the way to go. I think more people are waiting for that Jericho hat to drop, and all the possibilities from that. Because it's going to be comedy gold, but at the same time, it's going to be really good. And I think it's going to be a very intense feud, and I think the two of them are going to go back and forth. So
exactly.
So that's the Raw spectrum. That's nice little Raw. It's okay. You're sitting there, 3 hours bloated, too much, but you've got little gems there. SmackDown. What'd you think of SmackDown this week?
Man, Dean Ambrose, when he doesn't have a script, he's awesome.
Yep. That's the one thing that you just need to let Dean do his thing. You know, this was the final show. This was the go home for No Mercy. What'd you think of their build?
I think the build they've done for Alexa Bliss and Becky has been phenomenal. It's been really good. The Usos, I want to see them win the tag titles. They've looked great. Nikki Bella and Carmella, I'm really excited for that. I thought even Jack Swagger and Baron Corbin, they gave a legitimate out to that.
Yeah.
Like, it was something that is like, why have we not done this finish before? It's just such an easy finish to do. So I'm more intrigued in that match now. Obviously, the face-to-face-to-face will be great. And Miz and Dolph, I really care. Really, every match in here, I care about. Which, I can't say I've had that for a pay-per-view for a long time, but I actually care about the stakes in almost every single one of these matches and have deep opinions on who I want and what I want from each of these matches.
Gotta tip my hat to the creative for SmackDown. They've done a really good job. Whoever they've got going for that, it's really felt like the shows move very smoothly. Everyone has a purpose. All the
Bray and Randy is really freaking stupid, though. We gotta say that.
Yeah, you can't. When you've got a lot of shiny things, there's gonna be one thing that doesn't shine as well as the rest. But
they're trying to do some broken Matt Hardy stuff, and it's not working.
Yeah, you gotta go to the original source for it to work. AJ, Dean, and Cena, what'd you think of that final build towards that?
I really liked it. I liked how they cut off Cena. It was something different.
Yeah.
And Dean, sitting on top, he's done a good job of building up Dean. You know, he has a legitimate reason why he shouldn't have lost the title. He beat John Cena. AJ has a grievance as well. So they both have grievances. And, you know, Cena... I thought I'm talking smack, though. It was kind of bad when AJ's like, well, I beat this guy last week. Why is he in the match? And then he's like, and why is John Cena in it? And Brian really couldn't say anything. So there is, like, it makes no logical sense why John Cena's in this match. But having said all that, I did think they did a good job in that final segment to make you like, okay, let's do this. I'm excited for this match.
Yeah, and that's one thing with Survivor Series, not Survivor Series, No Mercy. Like, the main event feels important. Everything feels important, and a lot of these guys, like you said, there's some emotional investment. So, I think SmackDown has been head and shoulders above Raw. It doesn't feel like it's a marathon to watch it. I'll sit there and be like, you mean it's halfway done? I don't get more of this? But it's good because it leaves you wanting more, and each week you tune in. So I really like what they've done. Yeah. But you want to go over the No Mercy card, Josh? You're feeling...
Yeah, I would just say, like, I know we're going to get to it. It'll probably be the first match. Who would have thought, Joel, that we would care about Carmella versus Nikki Bella?
Yeah.
But you
not
care.
Not the first
you
match,
want...
but...
Whether you want to see Nikki... Whether you like Nikki Bella or not, or you care about what she does in the ring, you want this woman to get revenge on Carmella. And that is the basic principles of wrestling.
Yeah, it's that
you
emotion.
You want Nikki Bella to get back at Carmella.
Go ahead.
And you feel it, yeah. That's what I was going
to
finish with.
There's three pillars to pro wrestling, to me. There's three right now, anyways. I'll change my mind in a couple minutes. But there's crowd reaction, crowd investment. There is storytelling in the ring and storytelling outside of the ring. And a lot of these matches all have facets for all three that they can tell stories in one way or another. And as long as you've got two of those pillars going, then you're fine. And a lot of these matches, like Dean and AJ and Cena, have all three. Miz...
By the way, sorry to interrupt you, we forgot about one major thing before we get to this.
Does it start with an S?
TJ Perkins losing.
That's right. TJP losing, which was a match that was announced as a title match, and then suddenly...
I thought that he had lost the match. I thought he lost the title.
Yeah, a lot of people did, but apparently...
Because we talked on it last week, we presented it as, and there was never any announcement, really, of it. Like, I think you just got in your mind, because like last week, like, it's a title match. And they never really said, like, it's not a title match. They just said, like, the match is going on. So when Brian Kendrick tapped him out, I'm like, oh, that was fast. They lost to TJP. Did that homeless comment really piss people off that much?
Yeah. I've heard that TJP's, like, their plan for TJP is to feud with Tony Nese next.
Okay.
But it's definitely one of those things where you kind of sit there and, like, holy crap. But it helps kind of get Kendrick going and gets him a big win. First loss for TJP in the WWE. So, because he never lost in CWC.
Obviously not, no. He's a champion, yeah.
So he's never lost, so this is his first loss, and just kind of builds towards that story. Like, I've enjoyed what they've done, and Kendrick cheated to win. He raked the eyes and got the booty choke in, so that was another big moment. And there was another moment that involves the Spirit Squad coming back. Who would imagine
right.
the Spirit Squad back? In 2016.
You know what's weird is, so obviously there's, I'm not going to get into the dirty laundry, but there, you know, there's the Ken Doan, John Cena drama. You can go research that online. We're not going to talk about that. But it was also weird just with seeing Ken Doan, John Pollock and the Law brought this up. There was an interview, you can go back in 2006-5, and Randy Orton was asked who will be the biggest superstar in the company in the next 10 years. Who will be headlining WrestleMania? And he said Ken Doan.
Wow.
And honestly, you could see it, right? Like, this guy is a very good-looking guy. He was great in the ring. He had that program with Ric Flair when he was Kenny Dykstra.
Yeah.
But he just never hit. And then he had all the drama with Cena. And some of that led to him getting fired and whatnot. Again, go check it out online. But it was crazy to see him back in the WWE ring. You told me the Spirit Squad was going to come back, I'd be like, there's no way that Ken Doan will be part of that.
Yeah, I never thought, and it took me a few minutes to go, that's Kenny. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy, and I believe with acknowledging Ziggler being part of the Spirit Squad, that makes him a Grand Slam champion, because he's won the tag team titles with the Spirit Squad, won the Intercontinental title, won the U.S. title, and won the World Heavyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes him a Grand Slam champion.
It was interesting, too, with that statement, because they had the Dolphin entry, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But they brought up the Nikki chants in there, which he seemed pretty pissed off about.
Yeah.
Because for those that didn't know, Dolph had dated Nikki before Cena did, and for a bit, that's all he was known for.
Yeah.
So that didn't seem to make him happy. He talked about it on Talking Smack. Again, go check out Talking Smack. It's pretty much the best show every single week. Yeah. And they're doing a Talking Smack after the pay-per-view this week.
Woohoo! That'll be a lot
of
fun.
But yeah, so let's get into the pay-per-view that's based on the greatest wrestling video game of all time.
Woo! All right, so let's start off with our first match, which will be a pre-show match. Jack Swagger versus Baron Corbin in a singles match. Who gets the win? Why?
I'm going to say Baron Corbin. They're going to split the wins and continue the feud.
50-50 booking says Baron Corbin gets the win. I totally agree with you on that. Not much more to say on this. Swagger's, I think maybe they're trying to build Swagger back up, and with some names disappearing, it might be good to have some hands.
It'll be a shady finish like the one that Corbin had. I don't know what they can do, but it'll be something shady. Maybe
he's
put under the rope or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kurt Hawkins with his gimmick of being a Chuck Norris wannabe versus TBA. Who gets the win, Josh? TBA, who has a really good record, or Kurt Hawkins?
Is that James Ellsworth?
It could be.
Yeah. It's going to be Kurt Hawkins, obviously, unless they just want to put Kurt Hawkins in the jobber territory right away.
I think they'll probably let him get a few wins, and then...
Is he the next guy to face The Miz, maybe? We were thinking about who's going to face The Miz next. Not to spoil what we think's going to happen, but could he be facing The Miz next?
It's possible.
We'll get into that soon. Anyways, yeah, I have Kurt Hawkins winning.
Yeah, I agree with you. Kurt Hawkins wins, because why not? Next match, Nikki Bella versus Carmella.
I have Nikki getting her revenge.
Yeah, Nikki getting her. I agree with you. Like, it makes sound booking sense for Nikki to get the win, because you're going to be propelling her forward as a challenger for the women's title. Next match.
I do think, by the way, too, like, I don't think she's going right to the women's title. I think that this will lead to Team Nikki versus Team Carmella at Survivor Series.
Yeah, and that's gonna be a big thing, where that's gonna be kind of a bridge over before we get to our next set of feuds. And it's a good thing to have, because it kind of bridges things. It kind of gives the winter kind of lull a little bit of a calming. But next match, the Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton. We should be getting this match unless someone's magically not medically cleared. Who gets the win?
Can I say who cares? So here's the thing. Abigail was teased more than she's ever been teased. So part of that makes me think that maybe Bray is going to bring up Abigail and he's going to beat Randy and this feud is going to continue. But personally, I think that Randy Orton is facing AJ Styles at Survivor Series, so I'm going to go with Randy Orton.
Yes, I would agree with you.
And just end this feud. I don't know who Bray feuds with next, but I think everybody just wants to move on from this.
Yeah. No more copying Broken Matt Hardy. I'm going to shuffle the card around a little bit, and we're going to go to Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Usos. He's got a family, man. Does he keep his title to keep his family well fed?
He doesn't. Usos win.
Yeah, I don't disagree, because the money feud is Usos versus...
Yeah, it was a nice storyline with them, but they haven't even been the center of attention these past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think it was, let's put the titles on them, it'll be a really fun story, and now we're going to ramp up, get the Usos, Jason Jordan, and Chad Gable at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
I don't like the hot potato that's going to happen with these so fast,
yeah,
because I'm assuming Jason Jordan and Chad Gable are going to win at the pay-per-view, but I just think the Usos are really hot right now. Before Survivor Series, you get about 5 weeks or so to really make it work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. The next match that we'll go to is for the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion, Becky Lynch, defending her title against Alexa Bliss. Does Bliss throw on her Bliss face and win?
Oh, this one was the toughest one for me. This one I had to really think about. I am heavily leaning towards Alexa Bliss. I don't think they will do it yet. Again, it's so hard because these titles are so new and you don't want to flip-flop so fast, right?
No.
So I say Becky wins, but I think there will be a rematch at Survivor Series, and I could see Bliss winning there. But for this one, I have Becky winning, but Alexa Bliss has been awesome.
Oh, yes. You cannot say enough nice things about her character. Everything's working for her, and she's getting
overlooked in NXT in a way. She was never part of the Four Horsewoman, and she always kind of did her job, did her time. You and I would always be like, oh, yeah, you know, Alexa Bliss is doing okay. We're like, yeah, but on to the Four Horsewoman. And I thought she has really stood out in her time on the main roster. Just turned phenomenal job. And again, like you said, it goes to the SmackDown writing crew and Alexa herself.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree. Like, there's a lot of positive things right now for this.
And Becky's great, too.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be a fun match, and I think that you've got the ultimate babyface in Becky versus an ultimate heel in Bliss. So this is perfect.
Probably the match I'm looking, like, maybe second or third, the match I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah. Well, the next match I'm really looking forward to, I think...
This is probably number one for me.
I'm really excited for this. It is the Intercontinental title versus career. If Ziggler loses, he must retire. Miz and Maurice versus Dolph Ziggler. Is this the last time we see Ziggles in the ring?
He won't be showing the world anything after this match.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Miz is retaining. This would be such a big feather. And you can start a storyline, especially if the rumors are true about them having any interest in John Morrison coming back. He retires people. So that...
I wouldn't mind that.
Because the Miz has... That'll be two people Miz has sent packing now. So I think there's a lot of potential here. And their match that they had at the last pay-per-view at Backlash was fantastic.
Surprised the hell out of us.
I think they could go out and top the match that they had. And especially if this is Ziggler's last match, I think he's going to throw everything plus the kitchen sink at this match. this is the perfect build. This has been this is something that we're always like, oh, well, this is happening now. What a bummer.
I've never been so excited for IC match in a long time.
This has been fantastic. And again, this goes back to the performers, the writers, everyone involved. This has clicked. This has worked. And I feel like this is so different from what we see on a Monday Night Raw. There's a build. There's always going to be plot holes to everything. So there are still plot holes in here. But it's still so much fun. And it's been such a fun ride. And we'll definitely have to, if it is the end of Dolph Ziggler, we'll definitely have to talk about his career and look back on his journey through pro wrestling.
And by the way, if Dolph wins, it's still a great story. Yeah. Obviously, you and I have made no bones. We are rooting for Miz to beat Honky Tonk's record. But if Dolph wins, they actually made me believe the career's on the line, that this is his last match. And if not, Dolph has lost over and over again and gets the big win. And that makes it even better. And I can do another match between these two and have another month of this feud because I care about it that much.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But now we move on to something that we do care about a lot. There's a lot on this card that we care about, but this is top for me.
That's number one for me personally, because this one, oh, I'm excited for the match. The Miz and Dolph one, I don't know which way it's going to go.
Yeah.
And I'm the most excited for it, but this match will still be phenomenal.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
It is John Cena, Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles. John Cena is chasing his tying Ric Flair. Dean got screwed out of the title. He lost it in very murky waters. And the phenomenal one that was supposed to just be a mid-carder, AJ Styles, defending his WWE World Championship. Who do you have walking out, and what are your thoughts on this match? The build, everything for this.
I have the phenomenal AJ Styles. I don't think he loses the title in 2016.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I'm picking AJ as well. I mean, there are rumors rampant that Dean and Cena are both taking time off. Here's the thing. AJ has proven Vince wrong, and I think Vince really likes AJ. And just let AJ ride with it. Ride this wave, because this is a guy that you need to milk for as long as possible. He's 39. Let's ride the AJ Styles train for as long as humanly possible. Maybe it'll be a bullet train somewhere. Who knows? But I'm really, the build for this has been great. I love what they've done with all three guys. And for a guy that was supposed to be crappy on the mic, AJ's done a really good job on the mic.
He's up for my best on the mic this year.
I've enjoyed everything. Like, this feud's been good, and I think that, you know, it was a little rocky when it was AJ versus Dean. The build for that was a little eh. But now moving forward, the build just got a little bit got better each week. And there's a lot of storylines going on. There's a lot of threads to pull on. And yeah, I agree. AJ retains and heads into Survivor Series as WWE World Champion.
Who does he pin, though?
I think he pins Dean. I think they'll.
And that's why we built Dean up so much.
Cena is Teflon, so Cena could eat another pin.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't hurt him, and especially if both guys are going away for a bit.
But if the plan is to do Cena and AJ one more time at Survivor Series, I don't know if that is, but it makes sense for Dean to catch the pin. He's eliminated out of it. Cena wants one more chance to get 16 at Survivor Series.
And then you.
But again, if they have Brock and Goldberg, they don't need Cena for that pay-per-view.
No, they don't. But that is our No Mercy 2016 preview.
I'm excited, man. I think it's going to be, like I said, I care about every one of these matches except for Bray and Randy, but I still think that's going to be a good match. Both guys are going to kill it in the ring, and I wonder if there's going to be a spot where Bray does the upside down and he gets an RKO.
Maybe. That would be pretty cool.
So I think that match could surprise us, but again, all of these matches, I haven't been able to say this about many WWE shows this week. I have an attachment to every one. And as far as other pay-per-views go, listen, I know some people wanted us to watch Ladder Wars. We are going to get to it. It's just been a crazy week with work, baseball on my side. There's only so much time to watch so much in a day in a week.
Yep, and it's been very busy. The one thing I do want to do before we leave, and I'd like to start doing more, before we close the podcast, each week, don't have to go into a long explanation, but who is the MVP of this week for WWE, pro wrestling? Who was your MVP?
I want to see Sasha, but it was The Miz.
Yeah. I'm going to pick... Oh, now I've got to think about my own question. Oh. I'm going to go Charlotte. Charlotte for me. Mm. Just for her performance, everything she's done.
She's been awesome, man. She's been so good. I mean, even I love Sasha and there's a bias to it, but right now I think the woman performer of the year for me is Charlotte.
Yeah. I there's a lot of positive merits. So I think you know, it's been an interesting week. Total Bellas, TNA, Crossface, Raw, SmackDown, No Mercy. It's been a busy week, and we're chugging along towards Survivor Series, which we will not shut up about.
No, sir. I'm really looking forward to everything that's coming with it. It'll be a little bit delayed. We won't be doing a will we be doing a podcast after?
For No Mercy?
I won't be watching it live, personally, so...
I don't think so. It's Thanksgiving here in Canada, so we've got...
You have a dinner, I have a Blue Jays game, so I may not even watch it till either later in the night, or we don't know yet.
Yeah. We'll get it all sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's gonna... We're heading towards No Mercy, then we're heading towards Hell in a Cell, which will be fun, and then... there was a push online to change Hell in a Cell to Halloween Havoc. What would you think of that?
Oh, yes, please, Lord.
Do you want the pumpkin as the...
Yes, I do. You know this. Don't do this. You're being... You know I want this.
Well, this was something that popped up online, so I saw it, and I was like, oh, well, we'll get your opinion on record.
Yeah, no, it's one of my favorite sets. I've been kind of to the point where I really love sets. I think sets are something that WWE definitely misses.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd love to see them back.
I totally agree. I think there's a certain appeal to
them. So hopefully we get them back.
Yeah. But, you know, just wanted to throw that out there before we ran away.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting week of rumors. I hope next week we can come back and say some of these rumors and report them as fact. Especially this TNA one. And especially the Goldberg one, just selfishly. And I think next week we will maybe wait till Friday, because then we will have the leftover NXT tapings.
And we'll know what we're getting for NXT TakeOver Toronto.
And so we can talk about that, and then we'll see what's going on more with the Dusty Classic. More tag teams announced, by the way. I think we should hit on that. So... Two that really stood out to us. We actually had the brackets. Let's pull those brackets, Joel, and then let's go out on that.
Okay.
I think I have it. I think you sent it to me, so I can pull it up right now.
I got it.
Okay, so I'm just going to look at it, so you can bring it up, though, and talk about it. All right,
so we've got the first match, TM61 versus Sabatelli and Moss.
Sabatelli and Moss. Yeah, so I have TM61 winning that.
Yeah, I do, too. Team Aries versus, you're going to have to pronounce
Bogojogovic and Knights. We have Team Aries, which, that's where things get interesting.
Are we about to get really strong, Josh?
Belief is that that is indeed Roderick Strong.
I'm cool with that.
The next one is El Dorado and Tamba Ali. First, Hideo Itami and Kota Ibushi. I have Kota Ibushi winning that. Which means, out of that bracket, Joel, Aries is going to win. And Kota and Itami are going to win. And that'll be a semifinals match. Roderick Strong, Austin Aries versus Hideo Itami and Kota Ibushi.
I'm a little bummed about that.
And then you have... The Authors of Pain versus the Bollywood Boys. I really like the Bollywood Boys.
You skipped a team. You skipped a...
Oh, I did. Dillinger and Rude versus Sanity. And I think... We already know Sanity wins that match. For yeah. It happens next week on TV.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, that could happen too, Joel. Sanity could end up winning that match and with help from Aries.
Yeah.
Just because of... I think they're going to make a big push for Sanity.
Yeah.
But then we have Authors of Pain versus the Bollywood Boys. That's tough. Are they trying to push Bollywood, or are they just have another tag team there?
And Authors of Pain is going to squash them like bugs.
Okay, and then No Way Jose versus Witch Swan, which I really like that team. But they also face Tony Nese versus Drew Gulak. That's going to be a phenomenal match.
Yeah, I think No Way and Swan advance forward.
Do they beat the Authors of Pain, though?
No.
And then you have The Revival versus Almost and Alexander. We know the results from this week in NXT. The Revival won that match. And then we have DIY versus Wang and Loon. And we're going to assume...
Don't they?
No. We already kind of know that DIY is going to... So that means it'll be DIY versus The Revival. And who... Do we have The Revival losing that one because it's not a tag match and that's the Gargano and Ciampa win back?
Yeah. I don't know. This is going to be... The way the card structure is very interesting. I don't know how it's all going to play out, so...
So if that happens and you have the Authors of Pain versus the winner of that, so let's say Gargano and Ciampa win it and they face the Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
So who would you have winning that? This is why I kind of think No Way Jose is going to win. Because then they can face the Revival next. So I don't see Authors of Pain winning the whole thing, do you?
No.
That's because if I look at it, then I see you could have Hakoda and Itami versus Gargano and Ciampa, which would be stupid.
Yeah.
There's a really positive side of this card that can happen, and there's a like, oh, yeah, that should be okay.
Yeah, like I'm very mixed. It's going to be interesting.
It kind of starts and stops with where the Authors of Pain are, though.
Yeah.
We will see. We'll keep you updated on all that.
They will definitely dictate the pacing for this and how this all plays out. There's a lot of threads that can be pulled. So I wonder if Ibushi is just doing a one-off.
That's the thing, too. Does he just do the one-off? We'll have to find out.
Yeah. Hopefully, selfishly, we get him in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Well, everyone, I want you to enjoy No Mercy. Make sure you follow us on our Facebook page, One Fall Podcast, on Instagram, One Fall Pod. Follow Fresh Take at Fresh Take 42 on Instagram, Twitter, Fresh Take Network on Facebook. Follow StickBoyYYC on Twitter. Follow Joel Johnson TV. Follow Jawa31 on Twitter, Instagram. And make sure if you live in an area that has Shaw Television, or go to the Fresh Take YouTube page or the One Fall YouTube page to check out Stigma.
Woohoo! Yes, please. Please.
And until next time, cheers!
I had a dream, and I finally made it.
Enjoy the day, people.